Third Canto of Chapter 29, Text 9. Vishayan Abhisandhaya Yasha Aisharyam Evava Archada Archaye Yo Mama Pritak Pavaha Sa Rajasaha Vishayan Abhisandhaya Yashaishwaryam Evava Archadavat Archayed Yomam Yopratak Pavas. Let's see. Pratak Pavas Sarajasaha Vishayan Apisandhaya Yashaishvaryam Ibhava Archada Vacharet Yoma Pratak Pavas Sarajasa Vishayan Apisandhaya Yashaishvaryam Ibhava Archada Vacharet Yoma Pratak Pavas Rajasaha
Vishayan Abhisandhaya
Vishayan Abhisandhaya
Yasha Aishwaryam Ebhava
Yasha Aishwaryam Ebhava
Achadava Chayed Yomam
Achadava Chayed Yomam
Pratak Pavas Rajasaha
Pratak Pavas Rajasaha Vishayana Visandhaya Vishayana Visandhaya Yashaishvaryam Ebhava Archadavacharet Yomam Pratak Pavas Rajasaha. Ladies.
Vishayana Visandhaya
Yashaishvaryam Ebhava Archadavacharet Yomam Pratak Pavas Rajasaha Vishayana Visandhaya Yashaishvarya Ebhava Archadava Chayed Yomam Pratak Pavas Rajasaha Vishayana Visandhaya Yashaishvarya Ebhava Vishayan, sense objects. Abhisantaya, aiming at. Yashaha, fame. Aishwaryam, opulence. Eva, indeed. Va, or. Archadhav, in worship of the deity. And so on. Archaye, may worship. Yaha, he who, mam, me, Pratak Pava, a separatist, Saha, he, Rajasaha, in the mode of passion. worship of deities in the temple by a separatist with a motive for material enjoyment, fame, and opulence, his devotion in the mode of passion. Purport. The word separatist must be carefully understood. The Sanskrit words in this connection are bindatrik and pratakpava. Pratakpava. A separatist is one who sees his interest as separate from that of the Supreme Lord. Mixed devotees, or devotees in the modes of passion and ignorance, think that the interest of the Supreme Lord is supplying the orders of the devotee. The interest of such devotees is to draw from the Lord as much as possible for their sense gratification. This is the separatist mentality. Actually, pure devotion is explained in the previous chapter. The mind of the Supreme Lord and the mind of the devotee should be dovetailed. A devotee should not wish anything but to execute the desire of the Supreme. That is oneness. When the devotee has an interest or will different from the interest of the Supreme Lord, his mentality is that of a separatist. When the so-called devotee desires material enjoyment without reference to the interest of the Supreme Lord, or he wants to become famous or opulent by utilizing the mercy or grace of the Supreme Lord, he is in the mode of passion. Mayavadis, however, interpret the word separatist in a different way. They say that while worshiping the Lord, one should think himself one with the Supreme Lord. This is another adulterated form of devotion within the modes of material nature. The conception that the living entity is one with the Supreme is in the mode of ignorance. Oneness is actually based on oneness of interest. A pure devotee has no interest but to act on behalf of the Supreme Lord. When one has even a tinge of personal interest, his devotion is mixed with the three modes of material nature. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Padamainam Tadhati Shopadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurau Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarsatam Sagana Laganatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sarvetam Sarvakutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Pada Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagat Padehe Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Krishna Kanu Sute Devi Karamani Vali Priyaye Pancha Kulpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Yaye Vacha Patitana Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhava Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Vishayan Abhisanhaya Yashaishvaryam Eva Va Archada Archiyedyo Mam Putak Pavasarayasa. Yesterday we discussed the characteristics of a person whose devotional service is affected by the mode of ignorance. And today, Lord Kapila Dev speaks about devotional service influenced by the mode of passion. Vishaya abhisanpaya. Vishaya means sense gratification. Vishaya means sense gratification. What is that? Vishayendriya samyoga. The happiness in the mode of passion. Samsparshaja, the happiness of sense gratification, it's literally that there are senses, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, touch, and then there are objects of sense gratification, form, sound, taste, touch, smell. There are senses, sense of smell, sense of touch, and then there are objects. So there, we want to, the senses, when the sense comes in touch with its object, then there's some gratification. Yes, now I'm in touch with whatever it is. The tongue comes in touch with some tasty food, or the eyes come in touch with some beautiful girl, or the ears come in touch with some music that we like to hear. So then there's the sense says, yes, that's nice. This is sense gratification. Of course, yatta agre mrtopam, in the Bhagavad Gita, the happiness is in this mode of passion is described as being just like nectar in the beginning. And parinama vishayiva, like poison at the end. That's the nature, tatsukam raja sanskrita. That's the nature of happiness and passion. It starts out great and ends up miserable. Therefore the whole world is in misery because they're very much after happiness in the mode of passion. They make all these big cities on the basis of passion. Passion to enjoy. And of course the city becomes a place of misery. They invent so many things for their happiness and the inventions become sources of misery. They enjoy sex and then they get AIDS. Or they don't get AIDS. Instead they just get married and then work hard for the rest of their lives. And one way or another it becomes troublesome. Nectar in the beginning and trouble at the end. But under the influence of Maya, the conditioned soul thinks that we enjoy. And this mentality may be carried into the realm of devotional service. Then one becomes very much interested in God as the agent for one's sense gratification. We were talking about that yesterday, the prosperity gospel.
The day before.
And people are very much attracted that God is so great that he'll gratify my senses. God will grant me that raise. God will get me a new start and a new career. God will get me whatever it is. Money. God will give me a new home. God will just put your laundry list right there on the altar, friends, and tell God what it is that you need. And God will supply because God is great and God doesn't want you to be poor. That's very attractive for those who are interested in sense gratification. So that's affected by passion. one becomes interested in God as the agent of sense gratification. Vishaya abhisandhaya. So people are praying to God very sincerely, "Oh God, please let her love me." Oh God, whatever it is, they want God to satisfy their material desires. And yasha aishvarya mevava. They want recognition. So they may pray to God for recognition, or better yet, you become a preacher. And then you can be famous. I'm not just Jim anymore. Now I'm Pastor Jim. With my face on the billboard, and I'm on television, and people are talking about Pastor Jim. Well, that's one way to fame. Just become a preacher. Of course, it's a fact that if one glorifies Krishna, Krishna is the most famous, one will also become naturally famous. That's real fame. To be famous as a devotee of Krishna is actual fame. But a devotee in pure devotional service doesn't worship Krishna for becoming famous. That's not his objective, to have his name somewhere and be known as somebody. Yasha. Materialists are very interested in that. When they give charity in the mode of passion, they want their name on the plaque, they want their name on the building, they want their name somewhere. Recognition is very important. And because most donors are in the mode of passion, various programs for encouraging donors are very much involved with recognition. To have a special event to recognize our generous donors, to publish their names in a prominent place. When you see buildings that have been donated by some big man, then it's the R.J. Simpson School of Communications. They're very interested in their name being there. Or they give to the church with the same idea. That's okay, we've only got 20 people here. I can speak loud enough. You want to move forward? And you can hear me, right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I mean, this is a small room and there's 20 people in it. So this is not a big deal. And it's not upstairs. I couldn't even talk to one person upstairs. Acoustics are so bad. So in religious affairs also, people want to give to the church, but they want it known that they gave to the church. Of course, there are not always, sometimes anonymous donations. The person's really not interested in fame. Maybe he has some other motive, or maybe he's actually generous. So then anonymous. But most people don't want to give anonymous donations. They'd rather that their name be known. And sometimes that's the only way they'll give. If there's no recognition, there's no interest in giving. So yasha and aishvarya. Aishvarya means opulence. Same thing. The by I'll give to God and God will give to me more. You can turn off the lights, yes. Kind of a super investment program. You just put a little money in and you'll get so much back. Your return on investment is going to be fantastic. So people give to charity, people give to various causes, with the idea that it's money in the bank for a future life, or it's guaranteed entrance into heaven. They even carry their idea of sense enjoyment to heaven. And I'll go to heaven. And what's heaven? Heaven's a place where I can enjoy forever. So it's some idea of material enjoyment carried into the spiritual world. So Aishwarya, Sri Aishwarya Prajaya Sabha, people are very much interested in getting a good wife, children, opulence. So they're praying to God for these things. This is devotional service influenced by passion. Then, yasha, aishvaryam, and pratakpava. Pratakpava means with a separate mood. Pratakpava. So Srila Prabhupada comments, pratakpava means Krishna has one interest and I have another interest. Krishna makes his interest clear. Sarvadharman paratyaja mam ekam sharanam. Just surrender everything, completely surrender to me, manmanal bhavamad bhakta, become my devotee. Be engaged in pure devotional service. That's Krishna's interest. Without any expectation. But we engage in the service of Krishna with some interest. By serving Krishna, fill in the blank. I'll get whatever the desire is. I'll get liberation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Dhanam, Janam, Sundarin. I'll get money. Now, even there's a joke. The old devotees who've been in India, there's some song. They've got some parody, Jai Jagadish Hari. Right? Give me a house by the sea, give me a color TV, all Jaya Jagadisha. It's very typical. People are praying to God. And that's, you see them very sincerely praying to God, very sincerely performing rituals and offering prayers and touching the feet of the saintly person. And then they're asking for ashirvad, for blessings. And what blessings do they want? Health, wealth, prosperity, success in their business. My son should do well on his exams. Very, very typical. The whole world, religious world, whether Hindu or Muslim or Christian or whatever, they're generally engaged in this sort of kaitava dharma, cheating religion. They want to serve God in return for something. They're interested in God because God can fulfill my desires. So, pratakbhava. God just wants a reciprocal exchange of love. You love me, I'll love you. But we don't have pure love of God. We love God somewhat, but we especially love Him because He can supply my material happiness. Karma Kandya. Then I'll do some pious activities and God will supply my needs, my desires. Well, this is pratakbhava, to have some separate interest other than the interest of serving Krishna. This is one of the offenses in the holy name, in chanting the holy name, to have some other interest, to maintain some attachment to material sense gratification, in spite of hearing so many instructions. To have some other interest. Or one drags that into the church or the spiritual institution, One wants to serve God, but one has some interest that I'll get a salary by working for the church. Or I'll have security by working for the church. Or I'll have a respectable position in the community by working for the church. Or I'll have a nice situation for doing the things that I really like to do for the church. Or whatever it is. If I have to work for a corporation, I'd much rather work for the church. Because then I get to serve God and I get money also. So there's a separate interest. The pure devotional service means it's not higher in salary, it's just I want to serve. No other interest. And the devotee in passion has mixed motives. I want to serve. And what compensation package will you offer? It's not unconditional service. If there's this, then there's that. I will serve if my requirements are met. So that's mixed devotional service. Pratagpah. But the Mayavadis have a different idea. They think when Bhagavatam is speaking of Pratagpava, it means the mentality that I'm separate from Krishna. Duality. They call it duality. There's duality. You think that the whole problem is duality. Eka Brahma Dutiya Nasti, there's only one absolute truth. And Tattvamasi, you're that absolute truth. You're not different from God. You may have forgotten your oneness with God, but now is the time to cast that forgetfulness aside and reawaken the understanding that you're actually non-different from God. That's their idea. Pratagpava, that means to think that you're not God. To think that you're something different from God. To think that you're, yes, in that way. Because in their view, everything is one. Pratagpava. Therefore, sometimes they're worshiping God with the prayer that may I also become you. I'm a drop, make me the ocean. Let me merge into you. This is their idea of oneness. Actually, it's Pratagpava. Although their aspiration is to become one with God, it's actually a separatist mentality because God has a different idea. He never says, my dear Arjuna, you just merge with me. My dear Arjuna, just realize that you and I are the same. No. My dear Arjuna, just tell the whole world about oneness with me. No. Mandana pavamad panto madhyaji mam namaskar. Become my devotee. Think of me. Surrender to me. No, I don't want to surrender to you. I don't want to serve you. I want to become you. And that's pratagpava. In the name of oneness, they're actually maintaining a position of duality, because Krishna has one idea and they have a different idea. That in itself proves that there's not oneness. Krishna says one thing and they say another. Where's the oneness? They want to become one with God, but God says, you're my part and parcel. You're part of me. And they say, no, I'm not different from the whole. Or God says, Mam ekam shanam bhaja, just surrender to me. And they say, No, let me worship Kali, let me worship Durga, let me worship Shiva, because they're all the same. So in the name of oneness, it's all one, they say something different from Krishna, so they create duality. The oneness is not endorsed by Lord Krishna. There's oneness, but oneness in difference. Just as a green bird flying into the green tree becomes one with the tree in color. We merge into Krishna by devotional service, but we maintain our individuality. Krishna's the master, we're the servant. Well, that's real oneness. But those who are in the mode of passion and ignorance have some separate idea. So they worship Krishna for getting some material return, or for merging with the Lord, or in the mode of ignorance for showing that they're the best devotee. None of this is recommended. The bhakti uttama, pure devotional service, that's wanted. Anyabhi Vajra Shiva. Any questions?
I talk about confidence. Confidence. There are people outside there who go outside preaching, and they call people around and they say that we have been sent by God. And then they give them some messages, they tell them to sleep down,
to
sleep down, to give them blessings. So they tell them to wake up, all these kind of things, and at the end of it they make money out of that.
Yeah.
And then there are others who go to maybe a matatu or a bus or something.
Go to?
To a matatu, a bus.
That is the local public...
Local traveling bus. So when they are there, they preach to the people, and after that, they take money from them.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking about confidence. Some others even preach outside there. And at the end of it, they turn out to be very good preachers around. So how do you define confidence?
Confidence? There's an expression in American English, anyway, a confidence game. A confidence game is a scam. Like the Nigerian scams. I write you an email, and somehow I gain your confidence. I gain your confidence that yes, all I do is just park some money here for a few days, and then it'll come back to me with more money added. Or I just send it here and I'm helping some young person in trouble and then it comes back to me. So somehow by these confidence games, by these scams, they gain your confidence and then they cheat you. So there's so many so-called preachers who do that. They speak something that sounds attractive. And they get, even there was some yogi in the 1960s. He had a very good business. And you give $25 and you get initiation. And you get a special mantra just for you. It's a personalized mantra. You can't just take it off the shelf. And then you chant this mantra and it's transcendental meditation. And hundreds of thousands of people bought it. So it was a great business. The product costs nothing to manufacture. So the margin is practically 100%. Clear profit. And what's 100,000 times, say, 25? $2,500,000. So every time 100,000 people get initiated, it's $2.5 million. Of course, you have the expense of running your operation and all of that. But then initiation is only one thing, and there's courses, and there's so many things. So as a business, it's fantastic. And in every community you'll find it, Hindu, Christian, Jewish, Jain, everywhere. There are those who see money, religion, as an opportunity for making money. Even Hindus is really something. You go to Govardhan and there are these people sitting by the side of the road. And everybody's got a gimmick. You know, begging means all these sadhus, they've got a gimmick. Either they've got a special deity of Shiva, or they've got a little kid who's dressed up like Krishna, or they've got some gimmick. It's a gimmick, actually, exactly what it is, a gimmick. Just like the beggars, you know, they've got some sort of gimmick that they've got a little baby in their arms, and the food is for the baby. Everybody's cheating in one way or another. So in religion, so much cheating. They're doing austerities, and the donation box is there, so you put something for their austerities. And at the end of the day, they take their money and they had a good day. Now they can spend for sense gratification. Or they run a temple and they keep the deity just for show. They dress the deity, they do the rituals. But the whole point is that the deity is the deity worship is a means of earning a livelihood. They'll support themselves and their family members by deity worship. Just as somebody's an engineer, someone's a doctor, someone's a lawyer, someone's an electrician, someone's a pujari. So by being a pujari, by having a temple and so on, so then the people will put money in the donation box, or they'll give money for some ritual, and then now that's your income. That's your source of livelihood. Vrindavan, we saw before Prabhupada's time, the deities were so negligently taken care of. And so often it was just that, it was just a business. The people will come to the temple, I sit, and people will come and they'll get money. And I'll use the money, a little something for the deity every now and then. But the main thing is, I have to support my family expenses. So then the deity becomes like a gimmick. You show the deity, and people give money. So the deity is very good, because this deity is a lucky deity, it attracts money. So then in that way, rather than serving Krishna, they arrange that Krishna will serve them. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur compared this to using a shalagram shila for cracking nuts. So that's found, that people are running some sort of religious institution, or they're running their own personal little thing, and it's just for making money. And sometimes they become very, sometimes the cheating is really gross. You know, there's all sorts of healing and there's miracles and there's all of that. And sometimes every now and then it's exposed. Someone has a radio and they're picking up the communication between the preacher and his right-hand man. And it's all a setup. This person is planted in the audience. And this person, and you know, it's all cheating, or there's some person died not so long ago, he could produce gold by magic. I have a devotee friend who's a magician. He saw this with some videos of this person. He says he's not even a good magician. He's supposed to be God. He wasn't even a good magician. But this is cheating, and then people are so foolish that they accept such cheaters as gods, or incarnations of gods, or as great devotees, or as this, as that. And it's simply their way of getting some money. And the promise is, you know, I'm trying to get money, so I promise that you'll, because you're a similar kind of person, so I promise that you'll get money. There's some big temple in Vrindavan built by some sadhu whose expertise was miraculously making excellent stock picks. He would choose winning stocks, and so he must be a great saintly person, a great mystic, because he could choose which stocks would come out of it, and people were giving money. So quite the vidura. It's called cheating religion. It's presented as religion, but the purpose is not to serve God. The purpose is to serve my own self-interest. So that's kicked out of Bhagavatam, the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Dharma Prajita Kaita Vajra. Cheating religion, out. No place. Okay? Therefore, Prabhupada also condemned kirtan for getting money. To become a professional kirtaniya or a professional Bhagavad reciter. He's speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, but his purpose is that it's very good, I'll speak about Krishna and I'll earn money. You know, to fly two kites with one string. I'll glorify Krishna and I'll make a good living. Sukadeva Goswami was not that kind of person. He wasn't thinking, well, Prithvi Raj was the king, maybe he still has something left. Hidden away somewhere. No. Well, Pariksit Maharaj was the king, Sukadeva Goswami didn't take any interest in him. When he renounced the kingdom, then Sukadeva Goswami came and instructed him. No financial interest. Well, devotional service is not meant to be something one does as a means of livelihood. It's meant for pleasing Krishna. Yes.
Maharaj, Krishna being the ever well-wishing friend of all the living entities and your Supreme Father, and he knows that by fulfilling this type, the desire of those worshippers, it's not good for them. So why does he do that?
So often he doesn't. So often he doesn't. Krishna says, if I really favor someone, instead I take everything away from him. I smash him. And then he tries to get it together again, I smash him again. Finally he surrenders. Krishna says, he's a fool. He's approaching me for material things. But I'm not a fool. Why should I give him something by which he'll just keep coming back again and again? Instead I'll give him devotional service to my lotus feet.
Because Hindus culture, I know they don't worship. Often it is said that they don't worship Vishnu.
Yeah, because it's known that he's a little picky. He's not a sure win. You pray to him, he may or may not give you what you want. He may take everything away from you. Right. So let's go to Lord Shiva, he's Ashutosh, he's very quickly pleased, and he'll give us any benediction we want. Or we want money, well, why don't we just go to the money agent? Lakshmi Devi is there, and Dhan Lakshmi, she's seen with like money pouring out of her fingertips. The gold is just like descending from heaven. Why should I worship Krishna? There's the lady I want to worship. Or they want to be advanced in education, so they say, well, I'll just worship Saraswati. Why worship Krishna? Saraswati's in charge of education, I'll go to her. Or they want something else, they go to the person who's in charge. Prabhupada compared that to bribing the government agency. Instead of paying your taxes, you think, well, I'm in the transportation business, I'll just give money to the transportation minister. That will be better. Bribery. But that's illegal. Hare Vipul. Yes?
One, when you said Jai Jagadisha Re, Dinamandu Prabhu had made Morai Abhilash America Te Dio Bas. Dollar Adi, you know, that I forget. That was very hilarious also, Dinamandu Prabhu.
My only desire is that by becoming a Kirtani of, or becoming a Pujari, I can get a green card and go to America. And enjoy sense gratification.
And another question is, Maharaj, that sometimes because you're coming from a family who needs your help, financial help, so, but you also want devotional service, you're attracted to devotional service to Krishna, so you're here, but you're taking some maintenance in order to maintain your family. Is that?
Not the best.
Not the best.
Inevitably, one starts to think about how much am I getting? Could I get more someplace else? Or, well, could I get something on the side? So many people are coming to the temple. I don't want to take anything from the deity, but because I'm the pujari, they know me. Maybe I could do some rituals at their home and collect something additional for my family maintenance. So one is inevitably, almost inevitably, as he's very advanced, starts thinking in terms of mixed motives. I want to serve Krishna, but I also want. Therefore, Prabhupada didn't want salaries. He didn't want to give salaries. Because it becomes mixed motives.
Maharaj, practically every pujari, every one you appoint is on a salary basis, you know.
That's not very good. Partly it's because we open temples and we don't have the people.
Yes.
You know, we want to open a temple with three people. And instead of building a congregation and making devotees and bringing people to the standard of devotional service, we open the temple, we bring a pujari from Mayapur, we give him some money, and now we have a temple. But it's an official temple. And the people who come there, they don't have to sacrifice that I have to worship the deity. In Houston, all the devotees are worshiping the deities. They have a large congregation, mostly Indian devotees. And they're all the pujaris. Someone's serving this day, someone's serving that day, someone's doing this offering, someone's doing that offering.
Even at the manor, I notice all congregations are managing the deity department.
Yeah, that should be.
There is salary in manor, really strong.
Well,
at the time I was there, it was.
Anyway, whatever may happen, but the ideal is that just the devotees should be the deity worshippers. And making devotees means that some of them will be engaged in the service of the deity. Not that I put out an ad, pujari needed, compensation package. Then the person is attracted, he's not thinking. What service can I do for Krishna? He's thinking. How much pay? How many hours? How much money? That's not very good.
Reminds me of some temple established by Srila Prabhupada, and they're really struggling. They don't have even among the devotees. They don't have committed devotees to, you know, to give time to the deity to worship. So they have to hire some devotees somehow.
Something is wrong. Why are there so few devotees? Why am I hiring people? Something is not wrong. How much preaching? Look at the temple. How much preaching is going on? How many books are being distributed? Where there's life, There'll be devotees, there'll be preaching, there'll be sufficient everything. When the temple, you know, becomes like a dead place, then no devotees, and we have to hire a pujari, and the pujari comes in and does what he's paid to do. And the whole thing's dull. There should be vigorous preaching of Krishna consciousness. And that's the real thing. People should want to serve. People should give up their attachments. They remain in family life 50, 60, 70. No, you become a pujari. Give up your family life and serve. Come here and serve the deity. Why are you serving your wife into your old age? Why not serve Krishna? But we don't preach that. We preach something, family happiness, and so that people will like what we say and they'll give money.
He's a monist partly because we are an institution, because
yes, it's partly because we're an institution. These things happen to institutions. Mixed motives. Practically, it's...
Because as far as I understand,
sociological fact.
Traditionally, in the past probably, is spiritual master, his authority said to the devotee, okay. Who should be deities without this kind of thing.
That's pretty much the pattern. When there's full dedication to the spiritual leader, then people just do it. They don't consider it. They don't have to ask Prabhupada, what do you pay me? If Prabhupada says go to Germany, or Prabhupada says go to France, or Prabhupada says come to Pujari, or Prabhupada says go out and distribute books, or Prabhupada says... And they don't say, well, all right, Prabhupada, happy to do it, how much are you going to give me? What's my compensation package? When our first group went to London, they didn't ask Prabhupada, you know, you're sending us there, but, I mean, this is time, and time is money, and so on and so on, and we have a kid here, and all of it. No, they just went. They didn't think about security, or pay, or even where they would get food. They just went out and did it. But when things run down, then people want these other things. It's a known pattern. Yes.
But Maharaj, wouldn't it have been? Because the Americans in the West, they were all they all came from opulent families. Mm-hmm. So money was least of their criteria. Mm-hmm. And today we are not attracting those.
Yeah, there may be different reasons, but sometimes even people from the wealthy families, then later they also want to get, you know, a good position, because then they have their own families and their own expenses. And of course, the poor person from the very beginning may be joining only for that. In India especially, they have to screen, because there's some people they're only joining because they'll get money.
Or they can go to America.
Or they'll go to America, they'll get some. That's their only interest. That they're poor men, they're looking to solve an economic problem. Artarti. Artarti means they're after money. So then, that one has to say, are we in that? Is that our mission, to bring people and solve their economic problems by giving them a job? And getting a green card for it. That wasn't Prabhupada's mission.
But then, Maharaj, isn't it better that they come and serve, like Krishna said, I thought if you're looking for money also, you come to me, you're more quiet than the ones who are outside.
But then it becomes a very different sort of institution. That we offer you, like every political party or every corporation, You know, you do something for us, we'll do something for you. Then it becomes mixed. It becomes very mixed. And then the benefits become very diminished.
So then now my rebellion has become a chronic... Now when it has become a very chronic disease, how do you cure it?
Yeah, therefore strong preachers are required. The tendency is, again and again, in every religious organization, someone has to come and say, that's not what this is all about. When Jesus was there, he came into the temple and he saw that everybody's doing business there. They're selling doves, a sign of peace. They're changing money. It's a great place, you know, everybody comes to the temple, so it's action central, and it's the, where else should we do business? And, you know, we've got to get a good spot. And Jesus said, you know, you've made my Father's house into a place for selling merchandise. Overturned the tables, you know, blew the whole marketplace. But this is not what this is for. Well, of course, he got in a lot of trouble, but that was the idea. That this is the dharma, religion, dharmasya hyapavargasya, narto, tartaya, the company. The dharma is for getting free from material existence. It's not for earning money. But people always want to bring it down to the level of meeting their material needs and desires. And so, Sambhavam Yuge Yuge, Krishna himself comes again and again, or he sends his representative to tell people, this is not in it. It's not about maintaining your material attachments and making God your water supplier. It's about dedication, going back to Godhead. So there has to be strong preaching. There's no substitute for that.
Instead of not offering a salary as giving the temple to some of the devotees who are serving the temple, is it possible for the temple to be giving the need itself? For example, if you need air tanks, just go and get air tanks in the temple.
So Prabhupada used to say no salary, and if they want to live in the temple or if they want to, then minimum needs. Minimum. I did an interview with one of my godbrothers, Madhusudan Prabhu. He was serving with BBT back in the 1970s. He was married, I think maybe by that time he had a child also. And he told me he's getting like $25 a month. He had a place to live and practically, you know, enough money to get toothpaste. And he was happy also. Because it wasn't a job, it was service. So Prabhupada said if they're going to live in the temple, if they're going to, then minimum. Not, you know, big salaries and compensation packages and paid vacations and all of this stuff. Minimum. It's not for family happiness. Yeah.
What about inheritance?
What about it?
If you inherit some money, maybe you don't take anything from the temple, but you inherit some money, you can use it for Krishna service.
What else are you going to use it for? If you inherit some money?
No, instead of giving it to the temple fully, you can keep it and use it for Krishna. Is that wrong?
You can keep it and use it for Krishna, but then what may happen? You have to be very careful. Sometimes I'm keeping it for Krishna, but then Krishna and me become, my interest and Krishna's interest become one, because Krishna must want what I want. So money kept can easily be, Maya can get in there and say, well, you've got this. If one gets serious money by inheritance, then one should carefully consider, if I give this money, will it be properly used? Otherwise, sometimes we give to the temple, and the temple gives them salaries for maintaining people's material attachments. Therefore, charity is meant to be given actually to the same persons. If we give to some institution, we should be given with scrutiny. Therefore, the charities who are serious charities, they publish their accounts, they publish their what they're doing, so that the serious donor can examine what percent of their expenses are spent. They're on a mission. They're feeding the world. They're feeding the poor. What percentage of the money that they get goes to overhead? Now, how much goes to the poor people, and how much goes to their fundraising director? Now, what is the person in charge of the charity? What's he getting? Sometimes it's six figures or more. They look very carefully. What is this charity spending on? Are they well managed? Is the money properly invested? Is it used for the right cause? Is it a good charity? That's the first thing. Or are they spending for some bogus cause? Is their program realistic? Are they thrifty? Do they just spend to accomplish, like Prabhupada said, you solve them like throwing money at it. The Americans, he said, that's how you solve problems. You just throw money at it till the problem goes away. And Prabhupada was so frugal. No money should be. In Bombay, he objected that why are they using the elevator to go down? Why are they using the elevator to go up one flight? Because it costs money to run the elevator. How could they use the elevator to go down? If they're only going up one flight, two flights, why are they taking the elevator? The problem is very particular that we're taking the public's money and we're telling them this is for Krishna's service. It should actually be for some Krishna's service. Money should not, probably look, how much money are they spending for transportation? How much money are they using for communications? Telephone. Why so much? How much so-called devotee maintenance? Then if the public sees that you're well managed, then you get more money. People look and see, yes, their expenses are very low, the benefit is very high, we should support them. Of course, that's not why you do it. You do it on principle, but then that also attracts money. People see it's well managed. They're very frugal, thrifty. So if someone gets serious money, then should know where is this money going to be properly spent for Krishna? If I give it to the local temple, will they simply hire another pujari? Will something new happen? The temple's already being maintained, so everything's going on. If I give money, are they just going to carry on the same program, or is something extra going to happen? If nothing extra is going to happen, well, let it go on. Why should I give for just maintaining the status quo? We want something more to happen, right?
You can donate to the sadhus.
Yeah. I won't sit here in the temple and say you could give to the BBT. That would probably be not the responsible thing for me to say. One might, of course, think of such a thing on one's own. But I won't say it. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati told Srila Prabhupada, if you ever get money, print books. If I could take all the marble out of this temple and use it to print books, that would be good. Prabhupada gave great emphasis to publishing books. If you ever get money, print books. He told us that's real investment. Instead of investing, you know, putting money in the bank, buy books. That's real money.
Maharaj, my question may be slightly out of context, but what do you think about in early days we should have many devotees, 1,000 or 100 devotees at least.
In a temple, I'm not going to talk about why there are more devotees before or why there are fewer devotees now. It's quite after that, and to get into that whole discussion is another.
And about like spending money for employing people. From
I mean, we've talked about it sufficiently, I think. You know, just to extend the discussion of this, it's not required. Mm-hmm. The principle is that everyone should think I'm Krishna's servant, and no one should think I could get it. There was one disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Professor Nishikanta Sanya. He was a professor, but he practically gave up his, he was just serving the mission. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was interested in, he would seem to his, he was a family man. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur knew that he required something. But this Professor Sanyal would practically not ask him for anything. He wouldn't want to take anything. Sometimes I think his wife would have to go and say, you know, we're, you have nothing for this, you have nothing for that. You wouldn't want to spend, to take. Not that, you know, yes, I'd like to serve the mission, and here are my requirements. Anyway, as I said, that's old. You can go on about that. It becomes an interesting sociological topic. But the point is, one should try to free oneself from all material desires and anuguliena Krishna Nishida, and simply cultivate the mood of serving Krishna without any mixed motives.